Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. There we go. We're going to delay opening the service for a minute or two, or 10, or 15. Dennis Marshall, the treasurer of the congregation, has some words for us.
Good morning. Pastor Bruce asked me to give a treasurer's report, which I'm very happy to do. But as a prelude here, I don't see Carol Howard here. So anyway, I'm going to tell on him. How many went to the variety show? Was it good? I thought it was very good. And it was a little bit of everything, real talent, and then those who were going to be pretend. Well, anyway, Carol Howard had a pink tutu on, doing his. So I told Carol afterwards, he said, "How'd you like it?" I said, "I really liked it. And I took a picture of you." And I think you ought to put it on all of your real estate signs. You know, we have a real church here. And let me explain by what I mean. The camaraderie and love of the people every Sunday morning. And we don't just come to church and go away. We come to church and get rejuvenated by the pastor, and then work goes on right through the week with the people, with Bruce and Betty, the prayer warriors, the ones that's doing the prayer pillows, and those going out to meet others in the hospital. And this is just a superb church here that we have. And we're so lucky. You know, this is your church. And you're the ones that make it. Last November, I made a report that we were about $5,000 short of meeting our budget. And I'll tell you what, I just need to tell you, the church was so blessed with financial blessings that we went into 2015 with a little surplus. And it's thanks to all of your people. And Bruce has said, we are so fortunate to have real, live prayer people and people in the church that give with their heart, and that's you. Well, let me get into the business side of the church. We put together a committee called a budget committee, and we went through the budget last year with every single item. We have a very frugal budget, and we had requests to expand our budget from last year because of some price increases that have been passed on to the church. And we took all of this and we went down item by item by item and evaluated it and then blessed it. The members were Tom Shirk, Marilyn Baines, and Dr. Nuss, and myself on this committee. So we had good business people on the committee. We have great talent in the church, and it's so healthy to bring fresh ideas to the table. We have a fiduciary responsibility to also carry out the wishes of the board of directors and the pastor. Well, our budget this year is $128,000. That's roughly a 6% increase over last year. I want to just talk to you a minute. We have about 8 major categories in our budget, and I'm just going to tell you what they are, and then we have a lot of subcategories under each one. Outside services and fees. We have missions, outreach functions that this church does, church equipment and supplies, church functions, music and worship, designated funds, and our net proceeds are $24. That's our profit, so to speak. So I am really happy to share this with you. We ask that you keep your giving like you do, because you're the ones that really make this church. You are great. Thank you very much.
It's time for us now to start the service, and as usual, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for blessing this little church and all of the people who come here every week and those who cannot because of sickness or illness. We ask that you bless this little community because they are such wonderful people. We know that our prayer list just seems to keep growing. We think we have everybody almost finished here and have everybody prayed for, and then we have 5 or 6 new ones. And this week we were reminded once again to keep our military men and women in our prayers. They do so much to protect us here so that we have freedom to come to church when we want to and where we want to. We pray this morning for Pastor Bruce as he brings us the sermon. And we ask once again that you bless this church and all of these people. And we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
great to see so many people here as we begin this Holy Week, and hopefully this is the week that will bring us even closer to Jesus as we sort of go along with his triumph today on Palm Sunday and then through the things that are going to happen to him during the next week or so. I thought maybe it wasn't a time for a joke, but I thought, yeah, maybe we need something to lighten up the service a little. So, and this is no reflection on you, Pastor Bruce. After a church service on a Sunday morning, a young boy announced to his mother, "Mom, I've decided to become a minister when I grow up." "Well, that's okay with me," she said, "but what made you decide that?" "Well," said the little boy, "I have to go to church on Sunday anyway, and I figured it'd be more fun to stand up and yell than to sit and listen." Oh, David liked it, so it's okay. Let's stand and do our first hymn this morning, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna.
Hosanna, loud Hosanna, the little children sang, through pillar, court, and temple, the lovely anthem rang, to Jesus who had blessed them, those folded to his breast. The children sang their praises, the simplest
Father, how many things can we bring to you? How many things in this world, in our lives, in our neighbors' lives, in our friends' lives, in our families' lives, can we bring to you, O Lord? How many can we bring to you? We can bring them all to you. We bring them all to you, and you listen to every single prayer. You answer every single prayer in your way, whatever is best for us. And now we offer those prayers to you in a silent meditation as each of us, now in your house, in the Lord's house, offer our prayers to you. As we remember this Holy Week, we begin today with Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, and it turned pretty sour pretty quickly for you because of what you have done for us. Let us bring you close to our hearts and understand why you died for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to do a responsive reading this morning that is telling you about Palm Sunday, how it came about. So I think you can see the screen. If you'll stand up, we will do the reading. I will do the first part. You will do the ones that are they bold or does it? Oh, they're yellow. Okay. And then we will sing a hymn afterwards, okay? As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!"
Prophecy regarding Jesus' life and death, which was written 700 years before the actual event took place. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for the peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and as sheep before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and he will declare his generation. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people, he was stricken. And they made his grave with the wicked, with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquity. This is the holy word to us.
It's time once again for us to give back a little of what God has blessed us with. So let's sing the doxology together if you want to stand.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Be seated.
Again, O Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to share our wealth with your mission here on earth through our little church at Eagle Bend Community. This song that Barbara and I are going to sing, I've known for 75 years. Maybe some of you know it, maybe some of you don't.
And blossoms gay are strewn this day in festal preparation, where Jesus comes to wipe our tears away. E'en now the throne to welcome Him prepare. Join all and sing His name. Resound with acclamation, Hosanna! Praise to the Lord, bless Him who came to bring us salvation. Forth and peopled by His might, once more regain freedom from degradation. Humanity doth give to each his right, while those in darkness are restored to light. Join all and sing His name. Resound with acclamation, Hosanna! Praise to the Lord, bless Him who cometh to bring us salvation. Rejoice, O blessed Jerusalem, all thy sons see emancipation. Through boundless love, the Christ of Bethlehem brings faith and hope to thee forevermore. Join all and sing His name. Resound with acclamation, Hosanna! Praise to the Lord, blessed is He to bring us to.
got to breathe now. Thank you, Barbara, for letting me sing with you this morning. Not too many people know that hymn, but it is wonderful. The question this morning we're transposing now into Holy Week is, why did Jesus die and why did he have to die? Couldn't God have accomplished this in some other way? And throughout history, people have pondered this. When we read the gospel, he was a good man, a very good man who went about doing good. The last verse of the Gospel of John reads like this, and listen to this. And there were also many other things that Jesus did, which, if they were written one by one, John says, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Even his enemies testify to his integrity. The Muslim Quran extols his virtue and the fact that he was a prophet. He couldn't be bribed or pressured or threatened or intimidated. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He caused the blind to see. He caused the lame to walk. He preached good news to the poor. That's what we do in our missions. We preach good news to the poor. The common people heard him gladly. But then, why did Jesus wind up on a Roman cross? What crime has he committed? What miscarriage of justice was that? Well, this morning on Palm Sunday, we're fast-forwarding into Holy Week, to the last day of Jesus' life. As Betty read from the prophet Isaiah, the accounts of his death were so vividly portrayed in Isaiah, even more vividly portrayed than in even any of the Gospels. We want to get you to feel the sense of the intensity of what Jesus did, not just what the facts. We want you to get it into your heart and understand the intensity of what he did. When Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ became a mega hit in 2004, can you believe it's been that long? 2004? The question hit the headlines. For a brief moment in time, Jesus was in the headlines. Reporters discussed the movie and then talked about what the death of Jesus meant. Well, we might ask, why is there so much suffering in the world? Will there ever be world peace? Or how can I know God? Even the question that was raised in our men's meeting, why are we here? And what is our purpose on earth? Not what Betty said. We have other purposes, a much higher purpose on earth. We're going to be talking about that on the men's meeting a couple of Saturdays from now. We will never understand God's true meaning for the world and for us until we understand the cross. And no more is it helpful to hear about that than in Isaiah 53. This message is the Mount Everest of the Old Testament. It seems as though Isaiah had a front seat at Golgotha when Jesus was crucified. It's the very heart of the gospel, the heart of the heart. It's like John 3:16 in the Old Testament. As we begin to look at these verses, see what Isaiah uses in these verses. He says, our griefs, our sorrows, we esteemed him. Our transgressions, our iniquities, our chastisements, his chastisement brought us peace. With his wounds, we are healed. We have gone astray. We have turned the iniquities of us all. What he did for us. Jesus died for us. What he suffered, he was for us. The indignity of the cross was for us. He was tried, he was beaten, he was in a kangaroo court. They brought him to trial on false charges and then publicly executed him. Was Jesus a loser? Was Jesus a loser in those days? Well, the Bible never denies the moral responsibility of those who put Jesus to death. In Acts 2:23, Peter says, this Jesus you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Jesus was murdered. Jesus was murdered. But this is not the end of the story. You know, if Jesus wanted to stop it, he could have. All of Pilate's armies, all the Roman armies could not have stopped the armies of God. They could not have hurt a hair on his head unless he allowed it. And that brings us to the real message of Isaiah 53. That Jesus died on purpose, not by accident. so that we who fall so far short like you and me can receive salvation, because Jesus was our sacrifice. You and I are the us for whom Jesus died. The more personally we receive this, read and receive this message, it'll get into your heart, the more the death of Christ will mean to you. And this is the week to really get this ingrained in your soul. Oh, verse 4 says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. These words are so powerful in Isaiah 53 that Handel's Messiah has many of these words in this great work. He doesn't start with our sins, that comes later, but he begins with our infirmities. It says that Christ has borne our griefs and our sorrows. Born in Hebrew means to lift and carry a heavy load a long way. Perhaps you know the famous gospel song that starts this way, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our griefs and sins to bear. We have many griefs because we live in a sorrowful, fallen world. We live with fallen people who can't seem to do the right thing. We need someone to bear our griefs and lift them up and wash us clean from what has happened in our life. As I look across the body of Christ this morning, and that's what you are, the body of Christ meeting in his house, I see it all here. Listen, there are sorrows upon sorrows. There are burdens upon burdens. There are infirmities upon infirmities. So many things happening. Right here, in our happy, friendly congregation, there is sorrow and loss. In Christ, we do not have some far-off God, but we find in him a God who drew us near to him, embraced us, entered our world, became one of us, so that he could carry our sorrows for us. Your pain will have not the last word. Your sorrows will not have the last word. During the Soviet time in Russia, every once in a while they would send out KGB people to try to eradicate religion in that country. One agent went to a church, a Greek Orthodox church, and he found this woman kneeling on her feet in front of the life-size carving of Jesus, kissing his feet. And the guard said, Babushka, which means grandmother. Babushka, what are you doing? Are you prepared to kiss the feet of our great communist leader? She said immediately, but of course I would. But only if he was crucified first. Why, of course, but only if you crucify him first. No other God, no other leader of religions throughout this world has ever had such a gruesome death. No other leader of any religion has ever died for us in the way Jesus did. Where else can you find a Savior like that? And then verse 5 says, but he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him the chastisement that brought peace, with his wounds we are healed. He was pierced with a spear, he was crushed, his soul was pulverized, broken, ground to pieces. Listen to Jesus' words on the cross. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? This was truly God in human form, trapped in his humanity at that point, unable to do anything, crying out to God, Eli, Eli, God, God, why have you forsaken me? He was chastised with a whip. By his wounds, he was bruised, his skin flayed. Why was Jesus a failure at this point? A good case could say, sure, he was, because he didn't become king. He didn't bring the God's armies into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with the palms and the hosannas. He didn't bring God's army into Jerusalem to take over and defeat the Romans. Just look at his life. He was unimportant in an unimportant village in the hill country of Galilee, the hillbillies. He was taken for granted. He was laughed at. He was ridiculed. He was crucified like a criminal. Well, but his death leads us to the rest of the story. He perfectly fulfilled his Father's will. His death did not end the story. Look at what we have in return. Look at what he has given us. We have peace with God, wholeness of spiritual health. In a messed up world filled with broken people, we can have that peace too with God in your heart. We are healed. We can be healed from our guilt, from our hatred, from our doubt, from our shame. Healed from the inside out, and that's so important. Our soul, once it's healed. Through Christ, broken people are put back together again in a wholeness that only God can do. Was Jesus a failure? Oh, no, he was not a failure. No. For those who know him, he was not a failure. He took our sin, bore our pain through the death on the cross, and he healed us from inside out. He took our place. Verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. It's the John 3:16 of the Bible, as I said before, of the Old Testament. Was Jesus a failure? No. Jesus was not a failure. We have all sinned. We have all gone astray. We've all missed the mark. We've all turned our own way, putting God in a little box on Sunday and turning away on Monday, going our own way. At this moment, we encounter the great, glorious news of the gospel because God did something. The only God that did something. Now, God could have looked at us and said, no, they deserve it. They messed up. They deserve any bad life that they might have. He would have been 100% justified. He would be under no obligation to save us. But God would not leave us alone. We said, leave me alone. Let me do what I want to do. And God said, I can't do that. That's Jesus, the great servant of the Lord who came on a divine rescue mission. God came down in human form, in a rescue mission. God laid our sins on Jesus. That's the doctrine of substitution. Jesus took our sins on his heart. That's the heart of the gospel. Let's suppose that all of your sins were written in a massive book. For most of us, too heavy to carry. For me, probably many books in a library. What happens if you had all those that book and every evil thought, every bad attitude? Picture yourself trying to hold that massive book in your hand, and now look at Jesus on the cross with millions of books, and you can see your book there too. He bears that crushing weight as long as he can, and then he dies. And then he dies. Would you like to go to heaven? You can, and I hope that most of us here can. Isaiah 53 contains the good word that you can. Our sins and nobody else's drove Jesus to the cross. If you want to go to heaven, read Isaiah 53. It is great. Remember, it begins with all and ends with all. It is not exclusive. Our religion is completely inclusive. Maybe you'll ask, can an old sinner go to heaven? Well, there are some old sinners here, aren't we? Well, when Dwight Eisenhower was on his deathbed in the last few months of his life, Billy Graham came to see him. And Dwight Eisenhower said to Billy Graham, can an old sinner like me go to heaven? And Billy Graham assured him that even old sinners can go to heaven by trusting in Jesus. But there's good news for old sinners, young sinners, big sinners, small sinners, everyone in between. That means all of us, doesn't it? All of us. Jesus has paid the price in full so that you can go to heaven. He was our sacrificial lamb. We don't need any other sacrifice but him. It doesn't matter who you are or what you were. Today's a new day. The past is gone, and God says, I'll forgive your past completely without question. Without question, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do any penance. I'm just going to forgive your sins because I love you. Because I love you. How can I be so sure about that? Because Jesus was pierced for your transgressions and crushed for your iniquities. He was able to take upon your sins just for you. God had planned it, and the prophets had predicted it. So how do we receive this salvation? Well, you just ask. You just ask God, please, I believe in you. You are my Savior. You were raised from the dead. And God then says, go and do my will here on earth. You may have him today. Don't say, I'll do my best now, I'll come to Christ later, because that's doing your best is never good enough. Go to the cross. Go to the cross and lay a hold of Jesus, who loved and died for you and is going to never let you go if you hang on to him. Remember, the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all. If you have any stirring in your heart to come to Christ, come and talk to me later. And go to the cross, where Jesus waits to meet you. And now we'll confess our faith in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand.
Now, as we prepare to take communion and remember our Lord, let's stand and sing, Come Share the Lord.
This week we especially remember the fact that Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, met with his disciples, and he took the bread, and when he blessed it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat, this is my body which is given for you. After the same manner, after they had finished eating, he took the cup, and he said, This is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins. Drink all of it in remembrance of me. Let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power,
thank you.
We hope that you will all join us this Friday as we commemorate that Friday from so long ago when our Savior was betrayed. And it's going to be a moving service, I think, so please come and join us there. And because our next song as we leave today is called Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne. You may stand.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou comest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. The foxes come rest and the birds their nest in the shade of the forest tree. But thy couch was the sod, oh, the sod of God in the deserts of
you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yeah.